Behaseriato. Egialakloso. For I gave you this name to speak. To speak over all things and take dominion, saith the Spirit of grace. For understand it is to the one who speaks that know me. For many speak that name, and that name has no power on their lips. But to the one who knows me, the one who's been filled with my Spirit, and has an understanding, know that all things are possible through that name, saith the Spirit of grace. Hey, so. I'll come if you'll breathe this name over your family. And I'll come if you'll breathe this name over all your circumstances.
Yes,
amen,
Jesus. We will do it, Jesus.
For one thing that my church in the beginning had was an understanding of the simplicity of the power that was in this name. So continue to speak this name and believe that I will honor that name which is above all names. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. My wife edits the services to put them on the website. And she's been enjoying some things that she always tells me, and she really enjoys a lot of the stuff that, or all the stuff that Homer preaches. And he was doing something recently on the name of Jesus, and something the Holy Spirit renewed in him, and she's always telling me. But as a result, we were talking the other day, and then she told me something about him preaching on the name. And then the Holy Spirit came to me a little bit ago. It reminded me something. Even before I came here to this place, the church, Mockley. It was a time in my life that it was probably one of the most chaotic times that I could ever imagine. And I think that some souls would crumble under it. I remember one thing. One of the things about that time, it was a real chaotic, demonic kind of all-out blitz to destroy me, mind, emotions, and everything. But I had a divine, and I won't say this unless I know it is, it was a real God dream. It was on the line of a vision, even. That's how strong it was. It was one of the most vivid dreams I've ever had in my life. In this dream, I was standing. I don't know how I got there, but I was standing and I was surrounded by wolves. And I could see them all around me, just as close as Gay is, or maybe about that distance. And there were several of them. And they were totally intent. They surrounded me. There was no way of escape. And I was fighting them with everything inside of me. I don't know what I had in my hand, but I was trying to beat them off because they were going to eat me. They were just intent on eating me. And of course, you can imagine. You know, this is the devils, the demons that were fighting my life. And I could feel myself wearing out because there was no end in sight. I was just fighting and fighting and fighting. And I was getting tired. I was really getting tired. And you know how the dream won't last but just a few moments, but you'll feel like you're in it for eternity. And I was fighting these things. And then I was like fighting them. I couldn't get away from them. There was no escape. And they were surrounding me. And I knew that the end was inevitable for me. And just like that, when I thought I was my tiredest, or I couldn't fight anymore, right out of the ground, I mean just right in between me and the wolves, just shot up this huge grizzly bear. And then he was intent. Besides for everything else. Well, at that point, I lost complete heart. Because I knew that I was so tired from fighting all these other things. And then on top of this, this mammoth of a monster appeared in front of me. And I no sooner felt like, I'm done. I'm just done. I'm dead meat. I mean, I was just total fear, like it was all over. And supernaturally, without any contemplation, the word and the name, just the name. I don't know. I mean, it was all God. It was just Jesus. And when I said Jesus, because there was chaos and there was a lot of noise. It wasn't just their ferociousness. I remember it was just their barkings and their, you know, their screamings. And then this thing, and it was real loud, 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 loud. And there was a lot of chaos. And when I said Jesus, unrehearsed, not knowing I was going to, as soon as I said Jesus, the wolves and the bear immediately just fell dead. It was like a deafening silence. It was like I knew they were alive, they were there, but they could not speak. They could not move. They were totally paralyzed. The ground was covered with wolves, and this huge bear was laying there, and there was not even a breathing sound coming from them. And they were totally paralyzed. And all I said was Jesus. And I woke up. And of course, it's not hard to interpret that at that name, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess. You don't have to go through a long eulogy of trying to figure it out. Just continue to speak that name. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. If you have a need in your life that we need to speak that name over, come and stand. Just check those old places. Those places of endeavor in my presence. For war, many, in war, many are often run off from their places of solitude in my presence. But I never left, and I'm here. So, check out and revisit places of intimacy and long-lasting places of worship. I desire to baptize you over and over again. So much so that there's a freshness that is coming. I'd never leave you fatherless. I said I would not. I know the war that many of you are facing. I know what you've stood under just to speak my name. I know what you've stood under just to say, I love you, Father, and I love you, Jesus. So, I promise you as those that are not orphans, that if you'll visit those places and lift up holy hands in places of solitude, I'll visit you with refreshings. You'll wonder how could it ever be so wonderful? The newness, the refreshings. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I catch it. Praise God. It's not what you know. It's what you do. Well, wait. It's what you know and do. Jesus said, if a man will hear my sayings and then do them, it'll be just like this. Somebody that'll build his house on a rock, then he pretty much guaranteed the storms would come. But after the storm was over. So it is it's a combination. You have to know, and then you have to do. Hallelujah. You have to know, and then you have to do. If I was, for some reason, just got bewildered and stopped praying, if I didn't pray for 6 months, it probably wouldn't take that long, but if I didn't pray for 6 months, I'd probably get pretty discouraged, or maybe the flesh would kind of start, you know, probably wouldn't backslide, but be more grumpy. Or let's say grumpy, not more grumpy. I don't think I'm grumpy at all. After a year of not praying, oh my. Homer said, oh my God, in Spanish. I can't even imagine. Well, but he wants us to visit and revisit those places, even if we feel like we've been driven off from them. Because it's not what you know, it's what you know and do. And that's how he gets us sometimes. We minister. Well, all of us minister to people. And you know, they'll tell you, I know. I know what you're telling me. Now, let me ask you this. If I didn't pray for a year, and I kind of started going the other way, if I got real discouraged, pity parties, and you saw me at the local restaurant, I was having a drink, and my reputation was, and you heard Candy and I were having, or my wife and I were having problems. Have you come to encourage me? What could you tell me about prayer? You couldn't tell me anything about prayer. I mean, what could you tell me that I really don't know? That's about it. All you could tell me is do what you know. You couldn't tell me something about it. So a lot of times people will say, I know that you know, but it's the doing. It's the doing that makes the difference. So you can know all about what prayer can do, the Word can do, and fellowship can do. But it's gluing that thing to the seat sometimes. And worshiping and praying until He comes. And He will come. Hallelujah. Then the knowing and the doing become one. Praise God. The mind, I've even found out the mind will fool you. I'd say this to somebody that was going through something and saying, I know. And I'd say, okay, let's do. Let's see how it works. And then I'd say, okay, because I'm going to do this, but this isn't how I live. But I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't do. For a while, Okay, you're real discouraged, yeah. There's no presence around me, okay? I can help you. How much time can you spend? 20 minutes a day? 30 minutes a day? Anything's a start. Anything's a start. Well, I already pray a lot, okay? I was real discouraged about why the scales said the same thing every morning. I'm just eating like a bird and I can't believe it. Until I every once in a while would just for denial that my body's not working right. I'm a human that can't. I can eat hardly nothing and still. Did you ever legalistically, and you're not supposed to live like this either, write down everything you ate today? And then you go back after you say, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. And you start counting all those things, and a pinch here, and a pinch there. Don't stop that. My goodness. Are your hands tired? It's your mind. It'll fool you. And you say, oh, now that I understand, I was keeping a little log. Now I understand. 4,000 or 5,000 calories. That's probably the reason why. You did a little personal now. I said. Sometimes people say it don't work. The prayer don't really doesn't change anything. Now this is what I'd say is not to you guys, but we're preaching somebody out there that. Legalistically. Say, if you got an hour, write it down. Not the time that we used to come to prayer meetings years ago. I've watched people come in to prayer meetings, a 2-hour prayer meeting, and they talked for an hour and 45 minutes. And then they left and they said, whew. He prayed 2 hours. No, you talked for an hour and 45 and fellowshiped for. And the only reason why I'd get this legalistic is to show somebody how that they could really change. How much time do you got? Okay, I got 30 minutes. Okay. That thing, it's called a cell phone. It doesn't go in the prayer closet with me. It can't. Well, what if one of my kids need me? Wait a minute. Is any of them sick? If they're sick or there's an emergency, that's different. Well, no, what if something happens? Well, no, that's faith in the negative. That's called fear. If nobody's sick or there's no emergency. In fact, my kid's future really depends more on me not being interrupted. Unless there's something I know. I mean, if they're dealing with something, you know, that day. But an hour? Can I give him an hour? Absolutely. If that was me, 30 minutes. Because it's not, see, this is where I'd get real legalistic. This person that says, it's just not working for me. Yeah, it will. But if you designate an hour of prayer and then Sister Sue, is there any Sue's in here? It's not you. Calls you and you talk for 45 minutes and you say, oh, I was on the prayer clock. I got to get off here. And you spend the last 10 minutes in tongues. Well, thank God for that 10 minutes in tongues. But if you look back over a week and you say, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. The calories are just not working for me. No, it's just not. You're fooling your own self. Same way in the spirit. I'm not getting any stronger, Pastor. Listen, go in there. If it's 30 minutes. Dave used to say, look, if a guy only had 3 hours a week to pray, that's all you had. If you had three, if you were so busy, you had 3 hours a week to pray. He said it'd be better if you consolidated it all and did it on a Saturday or early Sunday. Save all, just all three. I mean, if you're not going to even say nothing except go your way and just do it all at once. That way, because you get that concentrated time of uninterrupted. If you can spend an hour. Now, like I said, I don't live my life like that, like calorie counting or writing down my time with God or anything like that. That's not the way you're supposed to live. That is legalistic. But to a person who doesn't understand, listen, if you do, He'll come. That's just the way He is. Hallelujah. He will come. Praise God. Hallelujah. You did good. Now are you wore out? Good. Hallelujah. How many of you feel edified?
Yes,
praise God. I had a good time tonight. We were supposed to get in Ephesians, but we didn't. That's okay, though. Hallelujah. I'm going to let Julio teach it anyway. He's been in there the last couple of years. He probably could teach it. Hallelujah. Well, Rosalinda, why don't you put those baskets out? I don't know where they're at. Praise God. They're in Homer's office. They're soaking up the anointing in Homer's office. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad just to keep Matt up in prayer this week. He's out kind of ministering, isn't he? On the road with a fellow friend that's from International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and they're up in Sarasota now. We bless them. We bless them. How many of you would like to get an opportunity to give a big fat blessing to this church? Hallelujah. Even if you didn't come prepared, just say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I had a good time. So I'm going to pray. If God speaks to you, why don't you get ready? I don't think there'll be anything else other than this. But we got edified. We got edified. And that's the main thing. Father, I speak life. And I bless you. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. So now, Lord, we thank you that you supply and meet all of their needs and our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We bless Matt, minister where he's at. Speak life over them and whatever they're doing. And thank you for it, Father. And we bless this offering. And we bless your people as they go. Thank you for everyone that's come tonight. And thank you for the edification in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless you. This is up here for you if you'd like to give before you leave tonight. Amen.